Yes, hello and welcome back to my podcast. It has been a long time. I took this break for very many reasons, but one of the most important reasons was that I wasn't really sure how to structure this podcast. And yesterday an idea came to me and I thought I need to experiment and to just see whether this can work out. Basically, I have so much sources of information that that I've been sharing around, but I have a feeling maybe it would be good if I unpack them from the eyes of racism and that we discuss, so that I'm not only offering information to BPOCs, but I'm also offering information to white people and white red people who may be finding or are experiencing difficulties to understand exactly why such content or why such policies, regulations, etc. are difficult in terms of oppressive methods that they have and impact on BPOCs globally. So the idea is I'm going to play a video, but you're going to listen to the recording. And this particular video or recording is an interview from a British TV station interviewing a politician. And we're not talking about the refugees or the asylum seekers. And they are questioning, why is it that particular asylum seekers are favorite or are given better accessibility as opposed to all the other refugees who are all of them are seeking refuge from war-torn areas. And this case is about the I would just call them the fringe benefits that are that have been provided or made accessible just for the refugees coming from Ukraine. So I hope that we're going to be able to listen to the volume here. I've made everything loud. So let us listen to the whole interview. It's about 2 minutes, and then we're going to break it up step by step and talk about why is it all so difficult as this politician is trying to trying to get away with his explanations. So let's listen to the whole interview first.
We want answers. Why are we all being asked to budge up anti-asperians rooms and being paid to invite Ukrainian refugees here, of which we've allowed 100,000 to apply? Yet for Afghanistan and Syrians, the vast majority can't apply like the Ukrainians, and we're threatening to send them, when they do finally get here, to Rwanda. Why is it different?
Because Ukrainians, as far as I know, aren't washing up dead on the beaches of Dover, and this is...
Yeah, but that's my point. They're not, because they're allowed to apply online. So, if they didn't have an online visa system, mm-hmm. then actually some of them are at Calais, actually. But most of them, because they've got an online visa system. The Afghans do not have an online visa system.
It's different. I don't know if it's online or not, but there are procedures.
Well, I'm telling you, it's not. It's not the case. Yeah, why? But, so why is there a difference?
If you ask me on this programme, you never let me actually answer a question. There are procedures. There are perfectly legal procedures for people to come in. But what the people using the boats are doing, they're paying money to scoot around the rules.
Because there's not legal routes, and that's why they're allowed to do that.
Well, there
allowed
are
to do
legal
that.
Routes.
No, there
they're,
are.
They're,
aren't, actually.
They're paying
are.
Money to...
We allowed 20,000, of which thousands still can't come.
I give up, mate.
It's my job to correct you, Quentin.
It's not, actually. It's your point. You ask me a question, then you don't let me answer.
But you're missing the point. Do you accept, first of all, that there aren't the legal routes? There isn't an online system like the Ukrainians have.
The people on the boats are paying money to people smugglers to get round the rules.
Because there are no legal routes.
Forget about it.
I mean, you can't avoid that.
There's no point talking to you. Because four of you against me, it's just absolutely pointless.
No one's against you.
We're having a discussion.
It's about
we're having
looking
a discussion.
At the facts.
What's happening is the government is trying to stop people washing up dead on the beaches of Dover, and as far as I know, and there's also some politicking going on as well. Let's be honest about that. And the policy as it is designed to stop that trafficking.
I think Adil's question is, and it's something that I know you've been involved with, is with the situation in Ukraine, refugees from there, an online system has been set up which makes it accessible for them to apply for asylum before having to look for routes like the traffickers. And that hasn't been offered, Adil's point is, to other countries, and he doesn't understand why.
Yes, so you've heard the video, and you've heard how the discussions went, how the politician down spiraled. Now I'd like to walk you step by step on why this politician down spiraled, and also to make to just maybe bring awareness as to maybe what you have never considered in terms of legal refugees and illegal refugees. This is where we're really going to be unpacking the Western hypocrisy, and we're going to also look at what or who determines what is legal and what is illegal. Now let us start from the beginning again.
We want answers. Why are we all being asked to budge up empty our spare rooms and being paid to invite Ukrainian refugees here, of which we've allowed 100,000 to apply?
So I'm not going to go into the memory lane, but we all know in the Western world how the reception of the refugees coming from Ukraine was, irrespective of which part of Western countries you are. Because the white supremacy is a blueprint, the reception was the same in all other countries. So now let us go in and look at, for example, what they're talking about in Great Britain. The citizens of Great Britain were being motivated to, you know, to scoop up the rooms, to, you know, to clear up one of the rooms and to welcome a refugee or a refugee family, so that these refugees are not having to go to the normal procedure of going to the camps, but to live in a very comfortable, cozy homes, and to have people who are willing to walk them through the system. Because that is what happens. If I am going to take up a refugee in my house, I'd also like to take up that responsibilities of helping them get their, you know, get into the system, whatever is required or whatever is available, that they are able to assess this. Whereas when you are at those centers, you have all your needs being you know, put in a central or being managed in a central format, so that the procedures are going to be much longer. That is one. The second issue that you need to look at is also the incentive that the government is offering, not to collectively put people in a central place where they are minimizing costs, like the reason why that they have these refugee centers, but now are distributing people across the country, which basically means each and every household who agrees to take up a refugee is entitled to a sum X, which basically means we are now willing to bust the bank and to pay people so that we are giving only the best to our Ukraine people who are coming from war-torn areas. So now we're going in the level where we are defining what is considered to be war-torn, in terms of if it is in Europe, this is a legitimate war-torn. It is something that is too close from home. We can see them, we are seeing the pictures, and this is something that we can relate to. But other people, like in Syria, in Congo, in Afghanistan, these are areas that we cannot see, or we do, like, we do not see them, and we cannot also relate to their plights. We do not even understand whether they are in pain or whether they are in fear, but we know that for the Ukrainians, we know that this is something very fearful. So we're already bringing a certain standard that we are going to be maintaining for people who are both fleeing from war-torn areas. But let us go to the next comment.
Yet for Afghanistan and Syrians, the vast majority can't apply like the Ukrainians, and we're threatening to send them, when they do finally get here, to Rwanda. Why is it different?
So now let us go into looking at why is it different for...
Oh, we want answers. Why...
Sorry. Why is it different for the Ukrainians coming from here? For the Ukrainians, let us first of all get the procedures in place. For the Ukrainer, each Ukrainer is able to apply for their visas from Ukraine, which means they sit down and they can determine as a family where is their destination. They are allowed to, with a 2-mouse click, to apply. They go into a form, and this form has been made very easy because people have taken into consideration we cannot expect them to go into an extra detailed form given that they are in a warfare situation. So the quicker that they can get out of this dangerous situation, the better for them. So they go in and they click in the basic requirements that they need. I've not been to that website, but I can imagine that would be the reasoning that they would be doing. Put in your name, put in maybe how your members of your family that you are going to be taking. Please put members of the family as in bracket, I'm coming back to that, that they're going to be taking with them. And they decide in advance, where is my destination? I want to go to Germany. Maybe I have people in Germany already. I want to go to Australia. I want to go to New Zealand. I want to go to Canada. So they are applying for these visas online, and they are getting these visas approved. And for normally when we see refugees coming from war-torn areas, you're going to see that most of the younger generation, as in men, are going to take the bigger risk. They're the ones who are going to take the risk, leaving the family back home with the knowledge that we are sending one of us to risk their lives, get to a destination, and then start to apply for us to come over. Yeah, so bringing families together is something that is so important, and it has been valued again differently. The family constellations from people coming from war-torn areas like Syria, like Ukraine, Afghanistan, Congo, where the war is. These people, one has to lead in order that they get themselves established, and this establishing themselves or getting themselves settled is not a matter of 1 or 2 months. It takes a longer process. So the Ukrainians do not have to go through this. Theirs has already been predetermined. They are coming with their families already.
Ukrainians, and we're threatening to send them, when they do finally get here, to Rwanda. Why is it different?
Because Ukrainians, as far as I know, aren't washing up dead on the beaches of Dover, and this is...
Yeah, but that's my point. They're not, because they're allowed to apply online. So, if they didn't have an online visa system, mm-hmm. then actually some of them are at Calais, actually. But most of them, because they've got an online visa system. The Afghans do not have an online visa system.
So let us look at, first of all, what does it mean, basically, to apply for a visa online and to get the visa approved? Now, if you are a person who has never traveled, you have never left your country, you have never had to go to another country where you needed a visa, you had to fly, and I'm talking about people who are flying, you've never sat in a plane, so you have to start your knowledge gathering from here. Your research must start from what does a person coming from Afghanistan, coming from Syria, coming from Congo, coming from whichever war-torn area, what are the requirements, the legal requirements for them when there was no war to come to our countries, to come to Germany, to come to Great Britain? What are those legal requirements? Under normal circumstances, when there's no war, there would be the embassies responsible for doing the administrative requirements for somebody to apply for a visa coming to these countries. It could be a tourist visa. It could be a visa that is attached to a job. It could be a visa that is coming to do, business. Whatever it is, these visas are being done and administratively done with these embassies. But now we are in a situation where they most likely, these Western countries don't have, because of the security reason, because of the warfare reasons, they too do not have their embassies stationed in these countries. which basically means you are telling somebody coming from war-torn areas, you need to come in legally by going in and applying for a visa. Now, the challenge number one is there is no embassy. Challenge number two, when I go online, there is no button like the one available for the Ukraine that allows them to apply for a visa because of the country that is in warfare. Ukraine is at war with Russia. So if, for example, we are looking at the an example is the Syrian war, there is no button available in those government embassies where it states the same thing that it would state for the Ukraine. You put in your name, put in the destination where you want to go in, put in who is accompanying you and for what reasons, and apply for your visa. Now, what does this visa enable one to do? The visa enables to you where this British politician is saying for you not to come on the boat, use the legal route, and the legal route would be to fly. Now, if we don't have flights coming from those countries, it means we have to find an alternative how with our legal visas to fly. So we need to look for which is the next airport to go to. And the next airport is going to require that we look for assistance for somebody who knows the route better than us. We are leaving, we never knew, we had no idea, but there are people who are bridging this gap, who have seen a niche, a focal point where they can make money. So assuming that I am walking around with my visa and I have to look for the next nearest airport to go in and get a flight because flights are no longer landing in my country, to fly out and go to the destination where my visa has been approved. Now, if there is no this button showing in the British embassy or in the British Home Office or the German embassy, the German Interior Ministry, where I can put in my Syrian name, put in my details and say who is coming with me, I cannot get this visa because this is a procedure that's not been put in place for people coming from my country. It has only been put in place for one set of people, and those are the Ukraine. So the Ukraine have already been determined. They are going to be given the possibility of traveling on a legal way. I don't have this because I come from a country where the government policies to the country which I want to go to does not have this provision or has not provided for this. So which means that I have to look at how best can I get out of this war-torn area. I need to save myself. I need to save my family. How best can I get out of here? And again, we come back to that business people who have found this niche, the one of getting people out of war-torn areas and enabling them to escape. Now, I need you people to think back historically. For all of you who have enjoyed whitewash history, this may come as a surprise to you, but these people are not new in this trade. If you remember or you've read the stories of the Holocaust, I think I've read all the books, you're going to find that these people existed as well as they were trying to help Jewish people escape Germany or escape Gestapo or escape those days when they were being persecuted. So it is nothing new that somebody can say, we've never had this in Europe. We've had it in Europe. We've had incidences that are not old, that are not for 100 years. People have been using these brokers, quote unquote, who have seen a niche of making money to get people out of warfare areas. But let us continue to listen to further discussions on this video.
It's still there. I don't know if it's online or not, but there are.
Well, I'm telling you, it's not the case. Yeah, why, but, so why is there a difference?
You asked me on this program. You never let me actually answer a question. There are procedures. There are perfectly legal procedures for people to come in. But what the people using the boats are doing, they're paying money to scoot around the rules.
Because there's not legal routes, and that's why they're allowed to. They're allowed to do that.
There are legal routes.
No, there aren't. There aren't.
They're,
So in white supremacy and the white supremacy culture, I'd like you to go in and find out what are those rules that they put in place. Now, who determines what the rules are available for whom? Now, in the white supremacy culture, we have seen now that these people themselves have already predetermined that we want everybody to follow the legal route. But yet, we do not make provisions, a unified provision, a one blueprinted provision for everybody coming right here to use the same button and just choose not Ukraine, Syria, not Ukraine, Afghanistan, not Ukraine, Congo, not Ukraine, whichever country they're coming from, so that they enjoy the same procedure. But this is not available. The question is that I'd like to put across when I'm asking this, when I'm thinking loud, is that why is it that it is so difficult for you to just go into the internet and research to what extent is this guy telling the truth? Why is it that you are content with a politician that we all know is lying? Why is it that this is not contradictory to you? Why is it that you cannot go into the internet and just do like as if you are a Syrian and you are want to apply for a refugee visa, if there is a button called refugee visa, to come to Germany? If you have not tried that, then I need you to start your research from what are the requirements that a Syrian would require to come into Germany to get a visa to come into Germany, if you're somebody who has never traveled. I would like you to go in and find out, to enter the aeroplane, to come into the country, what are the requirements that you're going to be needing before you can step inside the aeroplane? Who checks? Where is it checked? Is it checked at the airport, your passport, to see whether you have that visa to allow you to enter the plane? What happens if you don't have that visa? Are they going to allow you to fly? The answer is no. So you need to find out for yourself who determines what is the legal route and who determines who will not have access to the legal route. But let's continue to listen.
They're paying money to
We allowed 20,000, of which thousands still can't come.
I give up, mate. I give up.
But it's my job to correct you, Quentin.
It's not actually. It's your point. You ask me a question, then you don't let me answer.
But you're missing the point. Do you accept first of all that there aren't the legal routes? There isn't an online system like the Ukrainians have.
The people on the boats are paying money to people smugglers to get round the rules
because there are no legal routes.
So as a politician who has sat on the boards when these decisions have been made, you as a citizen, you need to ask yourself, when he was passing these bills, when they were passing these bills, when they were making these decisions, when they were drawing those bills, what were the chances that they did not check back to back where are the loopholes, where are the gaps? Because this is a politician that you have elected, and you must have elected this politician based on something, but not based on his sheer lack of knowledge, not based on his inability even to argue his way out as to why did we draw this bill. Because he is down spiraling on some very, very important issue, the issue of the smugglers. The smugglers can only be tackled if we make the accessibility of applying for a visa, just like we did with the Ukrainians, accessible to everybody. But if we only make it accessible to one person, then we have opened or left a gap where the smugglers are going to use as a market niche for making money and getting people out of war-torn areas. But let's continue. We listen to the other discussions.
I mean, you can't avoid that.
There's no point talking to you, because four of you against me. It's just absolutely pointless.
No one's against you.
We're having a discussion.
It's about looking at the facts.
What's happening is the government is trying to stop people washing up dead on the beaches of Dover. and as far as I know. And there's also some politicking going on as well, let's be honest about that. And the policy as it is designed to stop that trafficking.
Mm. I think Adil's question is, and it's something that I know you've been involved with, is that with the situation in Ukraine, refugees from there, an online system has been set up which makes it accessible for them to apply for asylum before having to look for routes like the traffickers. And that hasn't been offered, Adil's point is, to other countries, and he doesn't understand why.
So to sum up this, where I always find people having difficulties in understanding, and when I'm saying people are having difficulties in understanding, I mean the dominant race, and that is the white race, is that you lack the ability to think critically. When I talk about critical thinking as a tool, it is a tool that has been that is available for people to be used differently depending on which side of power they are standing. White people do not need to use critical thinking in terms of power, because the power, they have it. They get everything by default, which basically means they don't have to argue their way whether this is whether they're entitled to it or not. They have the access to it and they do not wish to be questioned. It is something that comes in by default as automatically. Whereas people standing on the other side where they don't have access to power, critical thinking is a tool which can be used also as one to determine whether you are going to survive as you're navigating the spaces of the dominant race, or you're going to be killed. Critical thinking as a tool for people who are oppressed is one that we're using to negotiate all the time, to have that 1 millimeter, 2 millimeters of access of what the power holding dominant race has. So if you have not been able to understand which position you have with in terms of critical thinking, then you need to start now, because you need to apply critical thinking in terms of always questioning things that you feel that your politicians are not giving you sufficient answers. Research. Educate yourselves. A politician cannot sit at a table, draw a bill, pass it, and not be able to defend it in an open forum where you are listening and trying to understand. So then why do we have so many illegal people, like they have termed it? Why don't these people just come in through the illegal way, just like the Ukrainians? I need you to go out and look at what is the difference between the Ukrainer coming in with a visa and somebody who does not have that button, that famous one button that they need to be able to apply and make their application a legal one. And if they do not have this button, what are the other options that they have? And put in and factor in that the people that you're talking about, bombs are flying above their heads. Guns are firing left, right, and center. They want to save their lives. They want to save the lives of their children and their loved ones. So the option is, if we stay here, we are going to be killed. We have to move. And moving does not necessarily mean that we are going to have everything in place. We don't have government offices where we're going to apply for passports. No government currently is issuing, most likely, those passports that we need. We need, seriously, to apply for those visas. If you are somewhere in the village where you never ever thought of, I would ever need a passport, you are there with your whole family without a passport, but you need to take refuge. You want to survive, and every human being has and is entitled to survive. And that is why we also have the human rights laws. So I hope that you've enjoyed this series, and I'm looking forward that you give me a feedback as to whether this is some valuable way of us unpacking, because I've got so many videos that I would like us to be unpacking this way, if this is something interesting for you. Thank you.